You have a beautiful gift. I hope you share it with us again. I am going to be reading from the New King James Version, Exodus 17:12. You can read along with me if you would like. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun.
Good morning. Trying something new. Let's hope this works. Instead of paper, I have it on an iPad, and I'm afraid I'll get nervous and it'll go to sleep and I'll forget the password, and then it'll all be in trouble. Based on a couple of weeks ago when Chelsea spoke to us, I think this would probably be the prime opportunity to extract a pound of flesh from Rod as a little revenge, but we'll get back to that later. How he would abuse his daughter and brainwash her in such a way is just, it's beyond me. But I am, however, constantly amazed at the way God works. Beth's talk this morning about family and the support of a church and these triads and all that is so important. And then Rod's call to worship. Thank you. He is good for something. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. We didn't plan any of this, but that's exactly what goes along. Both of their talks go exactly along with what I just want to talk to you about this morning. I stand up here, and I'm just amazed the way God works. He orchestrates everything. And it's encouraging to me that happens, because I guess when I put something together, I'm going, is this really what God has in mind? I mean, why this? And then when you come and it fits so perfectly with the rest of the service, it's an encouragement to know that God is leading. It has nothing to do with any one of us. That it's all God's leading. So before I start, let's just have prayer. Dear Father, thank you for your leading and your guiding, for the direction that you give us. Dear Father, this morning we want to hear you, not me. So may you speak through my words, that each heart can be touched with what they need. Thank you again for living within us, Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Exodus 12:17. Rod read. Moses. Remember what happened just prior to that? If you read the first part of Exodus 17, it talks about Moses and the people, and the people were grumbling and complaining again. Let us out here, and there's no water. We're going to, you know, we're going to dehydrate. We're going to blow away. You know, why did you bring us out here to die? So God tells Moses, just go, that big rock right there, just go hit it. So he takes his staff and he taps on that rock, and out pours water, and the people are nourished by the water from God's hand. It's interesting as you look through all of the scripture how God's hands are so active in the lives of his people. That when Jesus was here, he touched people with those hands. So this morning, it's about holding up arms. Moses held up his arms, which is an interesting story. And it doesn't actually say, but we have to make a pretty good assumption that God told Moses, listen, I want you to go up on a mountain and I want you to hold up your arms. Because when Moses held up his arms, they won. But as soon as Moses' arms went down, what happened? So why did Moses hold up his arms? My theory is a sign of faith, a gesture of faith to God. I don't want to get real Pentecostal here. I know Gene comes from some of that, you know. Sometimes that we get the feeling that, oh, we just want to lift up our hands to God. But we don't, because we don't want to, you know, offend anybody. We don't want to make people concerned that maybe we're going down that road. But sometimes I think that we fail to be who God has called us to be because we don't want to make people think that maybe, you understand what I mean? Moses held up his arms. When Moses' arms were up, the children of Israel advanced in battle and in war, and they defeated the enemy. Moses got tired. I was going to bring a chair, and I forgot. That's okay. We'll use this. When Moses got tired, he needed somewhere to sit, because Moses was an old man. And so they brought him a rock. And he sat on a rock. But if you ever tried to hold your arms up for a long period of time, what happens? You get tired. Okay? Pretty simple, right? So when he would hold up his hands, he would get tired. But when he put them down, they start losing. Now, there's a couple of things to think about. Who was Moses and what was he doing? Louder. His people, right? These were his friends and his family. So one side of that is you think of Moses standing up there, and when his arms go down, who dies? His family. Now to me, it's incentive to hold up your arms even higher, right? Because when them arms go up, God's power is demonstrated not through Moses, but through his people, and they start winning again. You know, we struggle every day with something. Whether it's our family, our job, our finances, people breaking into our office and stealing. I don't know. Maybe it's just that life is what we struggle with. And I'm here to tell you that I am not in any way saying that here within this room we have every answer to your problems. I don't. I would be foolish, because that is just not the truth. But I want you to know something. That in this room, in this very room, I am saying that there are people who will love you, that will support you, that will hold up your arms, despite what's going on in your life. No, I don't need to know the details. In fact, if truth were to be told, I don't want to know the details. Now, if telling me the details will help you, okay, I'm there for you. Okay? There are people here in this room that are there for you. But we don't need to know details. Details are not important, because there is somebody that when we lift up your arms, it's a representation of, again, of what? Faith. And that faith is in whom? Is in God. And we have a God who knows every minute detail of our life. He knows, and he is capable of solving our problems. So this morning, I am telling you to lift up your arms. And I'm telling you that you're going to need some help doing that. Now, I have an example I want to share with you, and I've asked my buddy Rod to help me. And because Rod is not quite as old as Moses, he's younger than I am, we're going to allow him to sit down. You should be. Now, I have two bags here. They're empty. you hold one in each hand? Both of them are empty. Are they empty, Rod?
Yes.
It is, okay? Now hold up your arms. I want to see how long you can hold up your arms. You see, as with Moses, see, I'm rubbing his shoulders to help him because it, you know, relax him arms and stuff. They give him a little more strength. These baskets, these bags represent what we think we have to have. We seem to think that we need to carry our own burdens. And you know something? There is truth in that. We do. God didn't call me to carry your burdens for you. But God did call me to support you when you do that. Each one of us struggle in life, whether it's finances. I'm getting there. Whether it's family. I thought about having Sam because, man, that's one big, strong dude there. And as I remember right, I think your wife had a children's story very similar to this, which is interesting how God works. Maybe it's your kids. Whew. You have several kids. Life is too difficult. Somebody breaks into your office, Rod, and they steal your life from you in that aspect. And it's tough. And we seem to think that we should carry all of our own burdens. Don't let him down. Don't let me down, Rod. Hold him. And the interesting part is what God did next. You okay? You good? Getting tired?
A little bit.
Would you like some support?
Maybe.
God had two men come along beside him. Would you do me a favor? Would you come here? No? You okay. Gene Grin. Come here. Come here. You don't have to be. Kenny is. Come here, Kenny. Support him. Support his arm. Hold it from the elbow. You can support his arm. Yeah, that's it. That's my boy. I knew he would do that. Is the burden any lighter than it was? Is it? Isn't it the exact same burden?
Not on me.
But do you feel a difference? Join them. Help support that weight. How's your burden, Rod?
Good. I feel like I'm actually lifting up in my seat.
How's that? He's one strong kid. How long do you think you can hold him like this, Rod?
I can do this all right.
Guys, you okay? Anybody getting tired? Why? It's a heavy burden. Thank you. You can all go back to your seats. I really should leave Rod there until he just collapses. I think that would be just. Yeah, thank you. Was it the same amount of books? They weren't balanced either, by the way. I did that on purpose. The burdens that we carry are our burdens. They're burdens that God sometimes places on us. I don't know why. Sometimes God doesn't place them on us. Sometimes God allows them to be placed on us. And I don't know why that is either. But the point of the demonstration is not the burden. It's the support that you get. How long do you think Rod wouldn't be able to hold them books? Them are heavy books, I'm telling you. They're heavy. How long do you think you could have hung on there?
2 more seconds.
He's pretty precise. A few minutes? Maybe Sam. I mean, that, ever shaking that man's hand? I have no fingers, but I got a pretty good size. I mean, I put my hand in his and my whole arm disappears. That's a big, strong dude. I'm sure he could have probably held him up there for another maybe 4 or 5 minutes. These burdens that we bear make us strong. You know, when you go to a gym and lift weights, they don't put helium balloons on the end of those bars. What's the purpose with going to a gym and lifting weights? You know, personally, I like getting old and weak. I like, you don't have to. The point is that God allows us to go through trials in our lives. There's several reasons. Number one, it makes us stronger. And number two, and one that I think we forget or we ignore or we don't want to think about, is it gives us an opportunity to share that burden with our family. This isn't necessarily about triads, but it kind of is. Small groups, whether it's a prayer partner, you know, maybe, just maybe if we come together as a family, we can support each other. I can tell you that there are people in this church who are bearing horrendous burdens. Burdens that no one should have to bear alone. And there are people who are supporting them. Whether it's pick up the phone and you call and say, I need prayer. It's not about, oh, what you need prayer about? Let me write this down so I can share it with everybody else. This is not about being a gossip session. We don't need details because He already has them. We are not responsible for fixing your problem. Now, I'll thank you for saying that because there are people who say, oh, wait a minute, you're one of the church leaders. You are responsible for fixing my problems. You're wrong. I can't fix your problems. God can. But I can come alongside you and hold up your arms. This morning, it's about holding up each other's arms. You see, there are God-fearing people who all you have to do is ask. Now, some of the problem with asking is, asking means that you have to humble yourself. And I'm one of those that has a really, really hard time doing that. I don't like to admit that I'm weak, that I need support, that sometimes all I want to do is stay in my little shell and put the world away. And I know that's the case with some of you because I see Gian's head going. It happens with each one of us. But God has placed us together for a very specific reason. Sometimes you look out, and if you were to come up here with me, and just I should make everybody kind of one at a time walk through and look. You look out at the diversity of people out in here. And you're going, why this group? You know, why couldn't everybody be outstandingly good-looking and in their 30s? You know what I mean. Because humility is where it all starts. Being willing to let somebody in. I have been blessed beyond belief by being a part of the Board of Elders. This is a group of men. No. These are my friends. These are my brothers. These are men, and thank you, Robin, not for listening to us beg and plead and twist, but for listening to God as He called you to do that. You're part of it. You're part of something. And as we meet more together, my prayer is that you will feel the same closeness with us as I do with Him. And that's, okay? The reason that I can make fun of Rod is because he makes fun of me. But I know that if I needed something, I pick up the phone call and he's there. Now, he may not answer after a few times because he thinks I'm, you know. There's a support. There is a strength because we are in a fight. This life is a battle. And God has called each one of us, regardless of how young or how old, sorry, Gene, whether you are male or whether you are female, it doesn't matter. God is not a respecter of persons. But when each one of us, from the very moment we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we became in a battle. We entered the war. We say, I don't want to. I don't want to fight. But you've already chosen your side. You say, I don't understand what I'm fighting about. Doesn't matter. It's still your fight. And what is your fight really for? It's for the cross. It's for respect. Not for us. For Him. It's about acknowledgement. This world refuses to acknowledge that there is a Savior. And it is our job, sometimes our battle, to lift up our arms and say, by faith, I lift them up to you. I enter that battle. God is telling us, hold up your arms. It's a sign of faith. Just hold up your arms. You say, but faith, my faith is so small, so unimpressive, so insignificant. And God looks down at you and looks down at me and He says, it's okay. He says, you're forgetting about my blood. You see, it's enough. He said, my blood is sufficient for you. Just hold up your arms. Hold up your arms and show them. Show them who you are. Ephesians 4, 14 to 16. Verse 16 specifically talks about being a unit, being one. Starting at 14, it says, then there will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there with every wind of teaching, or by the cunning and craftiness of people in deceitful schemings. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And 16, for him, the whole body, joined and held together with every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You know, we think that because we are Christians that we don't get weak, that we don't fall down. It's unchristian-like, right, to fall? That we don't need help holding up our arms. Rod, did you need help? It's just a couple of books. Just a couple of issues in your life. Just a couple of problems that we all face. But I am telling you this morning that it is because we are Christians that we do. Because we confess and profess that Jesus Christ is our Savior, that it's us that needs to support the most. Why is that? Why is it that it seems like it's much easier to be one of them than to be one of us? It's two things. First, actually very first, stop looking at them. If you're looking at them, stop it. Just, my dad used to tell me, just stop it. Stop it. Now there was a lot of reasons. Stop looking at them. Stop looking into this world. The things of this world are not worth having. And the sooner that we figure that out, the sooner that we can accept what is beyond value. We don't live here for the here and the now. We live for the future. We live to serve. And you know something? When you serve people, you will get tired. It's invigorating when you do, but you'll get tired. You will try to help somebody, and they won't like it. Okay. People will reject you for what you offer. But know this, your reward, my reward, our reward, it's him. No matter how hard you think this world is, no matter how big of a bag that you're carrying around with you, and you may have to carry it, there are people here that will carry it with you, that will support you in it, that will pray for you. No matter how big that is, there is still nothing, nothing in comparison to him. You say, I want that reward right now. Praise the Lord, so do I. And you know something? You know when your reward starts? Right now. Our reward is not the things in heaven. Our reward is never, ever, ever not being in the presence of God. We don't know what that even looks like. We talked a little bit about that in Sabbath school class, how from these other worlds, they will ask us, what was it like to not be in God's presence? And we'll look at them and going, what was it like to always be in his presence? The interesting thing about that is, it does start right here and right now. There is no reason that we cannot start a personal relationship with Jesus Christ right here and right now. Part of that is doing what He has called us to do. That's holding up our arms. And second, and my wife and I had a discussion here, and we haven't quite gone clear through that discussion. It appears, that'd be a better word, it appears. Okay, I'll put that in there. It appears to be easier to not follow God. You see, if you're not following God, the devil has nothing to worry about, does he? So, when you feel like you're being attacked, when you feel like the devil has got your number, you don't have to carry it alone. Look around this church. There are people who love you and care about you. But know this. Whatever they gain is all going to burn in hell. Can I say hell in church? It all burns. What we gain goes through eternity. Today I'm asking you to hold up your arms. I'm asking you this morning to be open and honest with yourself, to put your pride away. What's the Bible say about pride? Pride goeth. Put it away. If you need help, there are people who will help you. Again, I don't need to know details. It's not important. Coming alongside someone, putting our arm around someone and say, and mean it, and do it. That's the important part. Mean it and do it. I'm praying for you. In fact, take it a step farther. Instead of saying, I've been praying for you, take that person aside and say, can we pray right now? Right here, right now. This church, how often is this church used? Twice a week. On Sabbath and on Wednesday nights. Why? Because we're all so busy, right? It's not a good excuse. There's no reason that these pews could not be used every day of the week. Can I meet you? Name your time. We'll meet in the church and we'll pray together. We're not going to talk about details. We're not going to talk about anybody else. In fact, we're not even going to talk. I'll meet you in the front pew. We come and we sit down and we pray. And then you leave. Not a word other than that prayer needs to happen. And I can tell you that if each one of us would start doing that, and it doesn't need to be in this church. I know of a couple of ladies that have been prayer partners for a number of years. And the strength and the courage that they have received through prayer is amazing. Our burdens as a Christian are exactly that, our burdens. We have been called by God to be a family, and a family, not a dysfunctional family. Okay, I'll throw that out because probably every single one of us in here are in some aspect or another are in a dysfunctional family. Okay, it's life. But God has pulled us together. Why do you come here? And don't answer to me. Answer to yourself. Why is it that this is the church that you chose to come to? You know, I'm sure it's probably different for absolutely every one of you. But it's not for him. Because absolutely everything that happens, happens for a God-given reason. And it's only when we sit down with God in heaven, and again, we talked about this in Sabbath school, and we have all these questions we want answered, and Ellen White says that when we get there, that they will be so unimportant that we won't even bother with them. That the only thing that is important is that you and I have developed a relationship with us, with his family. I can tell you, I plan on being there, and I know that each one of you do as well. One of the first things I want to do when I get there, after I get out of Andrew's way, here's your fair warning. When the pearly gates open, you better make a road, because he'll be running, and I'm not sure he will ever stop running. And if you're in the way, I'm sure he will apologize eventually, you know, like a billion years from after when he knocks you down, because he will knock you down, because he will never stop running. Support of a family. Support of a church. Doing what God has called us to do. Hold up someone's hands.
Anyway, this is our closing song. And some of you are looking at it and say, I don't know that song. Right? How many of you know this song? Several of you. Okay, I expect to hear you all singing real loud. Let's stand together and sing this for our closing song. Since I started for the kingdom, since my life he controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The Yeah. serve him, the sweeter he grows.
The longer we serve him, the more he will open up opportunities in our life to serve him. Think about it this week. Who can you serve? Who can you support? Who has God called you to stand beside? Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you again for just being who you are. A God who is so mighty and yet so approachable. A God who we don't even understand. A God who would give his life. Dear Father, as we lift our arms, we'll feel your presence supporting them as well. But as we come alongside our brothers and sisters, our family here, we will become stronger and stronger as we serve you. Continue to bless us, Lord. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.